The United States typically sees all kinds of weather in a given year. The heat waves, cold snaps, rain, snow, tornadoes, hurricanes, wildfires, the list goes on.
By that standard, 2018 was pretty normal, but our guest says there were quite a few weather events that made last year downright strange. The coldest April in more than two decades, followed by the hottest May in 120 years, a Hawaiian island wiped out by a hurricane, and a strong firenado in California, just to name a few.
Here in Wisconsin, we had big-time rain and major flooding this summer, plus a record-breaking snowstorm in April.
Jonathan Erdman is a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com and a contributor to the Weather Channel podcast. John, thanks so much for joining us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Durrell. And Rob, it's a pleasure being here.
You know, over the course of a year, there's always bound to be some unusual weather somewhere. Can you quantify how odd 2018 was, or was it about average in terms of weirdness?
Well, you know, this is my favorite column to write every year for weather.com, because you just look back over a year and you're just awestruck at everything that's happened. And in most years, there's a big storm. There's one big national story, say Hurricane Katrina, or, you know, some big weather event, a big tornado outbreak that captures the attention of the country. But in this case, I think this is the first year I've worked here where I've ever seen that it's really been arguably a couple of hurricanes, but it's also been wildfires that really captured the attention of the country. And like I said, I can't remember a single year that's been like that.
Well, let's talk about Wisconsin first and what it experienced. The state climatology office said that Madison had its second wettest year on record with more than 50 inches of precipitation, about 2 inches shy of the mark set way back in 1881. That included both rain and melted frozen precipitation. And Milwaukee had its third wettest. La Crosse had its fifth wettest. Why in the world did that happen? What happened?
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to put that into a little bit of context. So, again,
absolutely,
as you mentioned, it was the second wettest year in Madison, and the wettest year was in 1881. So no one alive has seen a year wetter than what we've just seen in Madison. And no one alive. And similarly, in Milwaukee, the only other 2 years that were wetter than 2018 in Milwaukee were in 1876 and 1877. So just think about that for a second.
Wow.
In Madison's case, they picked up about 16 more inches than average. So that's basically like getting 18 months worth of precipitation in 1 year. So it's off the charts, and it's a combination of events, particularly during the summer, that really boosted rainfall totals, especially in the southern half of the state.
Yeah, and what was really strange, you talked about what happened in southern Wisconsin, but the climatology office also said that northern Wisconsin was pretty dry. So how did that happen?
It was an interesting split. You know, if you look at a map of the precipitation over Wisconsin during the year, there was a heavy swath of precipitation basically over the southern half of the state. If you just draw it, you know, southern half, northern half. Then there was a bit of a dry swath just to the north of that, and then there was another heavy swath right near Duluth Superior and up toward Ashland and Hurley. So it was just this, it was almost like a dry sandwich with wet slices of bread, if you will, if you look at that map. So the far northern part of the state that was mainly contributed by an impressively heavy rain event that occurred right around Father's Day weekend. And in the south, of course, it was all about mid to late August and those repeated rounds of heavy rain.
Now, can you give us a sense under normal Wisconsin weather and normal circumstances of how much precipitation that Wisconsin tends to get in an average year?
Yeah, so in Madison, if we, again, we melt down all the snow and we add up all the rain, and we typically get about 34 to 35 inches of precipitation a year. So, you know, that's pretty typical for the upper Midwest. You know, obviously, if you go in the southeast United States, that those precipitation totals are, you know, 50, sometimes 60 inches a year. So that's pretty typical in an average year, say, in Madison. But again, in Milwaukee, we're talking 45 inches. In Madison, we're talking 50 inches, which are more like average rainfall totals you may get in, say, Atlanta, Georgia, or in some parts of the south. So if you consider all the You consider all the vegetation they have in parts of the deep south. That's because they typically get that much precipitation in a year. And this year, that wasn't the case in much of the state of Wisconsin.
Jonathan Erdman is a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com. He's also a contributor to the Weather Channel podcast, and we're talking about 2018, the year in weather, both in Wisconsin and around the country. Sticking to Wisconsin for just a few minutes, we were also hit with a huge snowstorm in the middle of April. In 36 hours, Iola got nearly 26 inches. Green Bay had 24. That was the city's second largest snowstorm on record. Rylander had 18. Can you take us back to early spring when this all happened?
You know, I'm still getting over April here. April bruised me. You know, I lived in Atlanta for about 16 years, and so my blood got thinner living down there and less tolerant of the cold. Then I came up here, and I'm still getting over April, but that was really one of the most impressive blizzards that we've seen in Wisconsin in several years. And as you mentioned, it happened in the middle of April. It happened, you know, roughly 2 weeks into the Major League Baseball season. We were done with winter by that time. but that particular storm lasted over 3 days. And, yeah, as you mentioned, there were a couple locations in northeast Wisconsin, in Oconto County, in Door County, Shawnee counties, that picked up over 30 inches of snow. These are the types of storms that we are used to seeing, say, in the Northeast, in New England, with those classic, you might have heard of the storms called nor'easters.
Yes.
Crawl right up the East Coast that produce feet of snow. Not so much here in Wisconsin. You know, we get a 6 to 12-inch storm. That's kind of a big deal for us. But, you know, Green Bay, again, had its second heaviest snowstorm record. They picked up 24 inches of snow. The only storm that produced more snow in Green Bay was in 1888 in March.
Wow.
So, you know, they more than doubled their previous heaviest April snowstorm. So, you know, we had a roof collapse at a Green Bay motel during the storm, and we had 35 to 50 mile per hour winds that were driving 10 to 16 foot waves on Lake Michigan in April. So, yeah, that was one of the most remarkable winter storms that I've seen here in Wisconsin in several years.
You know, the artist Prince once had a song called "Sometimes It Snows in April," and while it does, this really took it to the extreme, because it wasn't until July 9th when the final snow pile melted in Appleton, most of it coming from that mid-April storm. So when we talk about weird weather in 2018, that has to be among the strangest ever, correct?
Oh, yeah, that ranked high up on my list, and not because I'm a resident and, you know, born and raised in Wisconsin, but that came high up in the list, not only because it was the coldest April on record for the state of Wisconsin going back to 1895. That's crazy enough. But then fast forward to May, and across the country, May was the hottest May on record for the country. So we had this amazing flip between a cold April over, you know, a good two dozen states in the central and eastern U.S. Then we flipped the switch to May, and we had one of the hottest Mays on record. And one of the scientists that we work with, a climatologist based in Alaska named Brian Bretschneider, does some tremendous work out there. He pointed out that it's one of the biggest flips between record cold to record warm in back-to-back months that he's seen anywhere in the globe in 100 years. Occurred from April in the Midwest to May in the U.S. with a record warm April. So it was just really bizarre, you know, to have that dramatic of a flip between 2 months.
We're talking about the year in weather across Wisconsin and the U.S. with Jonathan Erdman. He's a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com and a contributor to the Weather Channel podcast.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think was the weather story of the year in 2018? Were you affected by the flooding this summer, the snow they were talking about? What about any of the other weather events to hit the country? And you have a question for a guest about the weather last year and maybe what's coming up in 2019. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. We're talking about the top weather stories of 2018, both here in Wisconsin and outside the state. Jonathan Erdman is our guest. He's a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com and a contributor to the Weather Channel podcast.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your biggest weather story of 2018? Warming temperatures, heavy rain, wildfires, the flooding. Did you experience that directly yourself? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR.
And let's go to the phones. Let's go to Nate in Mazomani. Good afternoon, Nate. Welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I have a specific question for the meteorologist. I've lived in Mazomani for 47 years. We're flood prone because we're on the Black Earth Creek. However, we've had two major floods, and the first one was September 1st of 2001. And then this year, we had 10 inches of rain in less than 24 hours. This year, it was the 24th of August, and we had 15 inches of rain in less than 24 hours. My question to you is this. Is there certain kinds of climatic pattern that's set up at that time of the year? I know what happened. The moist air came off the Gulf. The cold air came from the north. They collided right over us. Is there some kind of climatic condition that tends to have that collision occur at that time of year in our area?
Thank you for the call, Nate.
Well, first, Nate, my heart goes out to you and everybody in Mazomania. I still remember seeing all the aerial coverage from local media during the event, and that stuff just breaks my heart. So I hope everybody's doing okay, and continued prayers for the recovery. Specifically, what we typically see in the latter part of summer is we have these the atmospheric setup where it has these stalled frontal boundaries, and they're pretty weak fronts, so they're not as strong of fronts as we typically will see, say, in winter. So they're just really weak shifts in the wind that sometimes set up over an area. And in the summer, the steering winds and the jet stream aren't very strong, so things just don't move fast in the atmosphere in the latter part of summer. And so, unfortunately, what can happen in late summer is you have as much moisture as you'll get. You know, it's the dog days of summer. It's hot. It's humid. And because the steering currents are pretty weak in the atmosphere, anytime you get these little jet stream disturbances that move over that stationary front, you can get these clusters of thunderstorms that'll just sit and stall and just rain themselves over several hours. And before you know it, you have, as you said, 10, maybe even 15 inches of rain. You know, those can happen in early summer. They can happen in late spring. They can happen, you know, even in maybe later September, October. But that is kind of a sweet spot in August and early September when the jet stream is so weak it just can't move weather systems along. And in this case, we just had this cluster of rain that just sat there, and unfortunately for Western Dane County, it was a disaster that it was.
Let's go to Connie in New Lisbon. Good afternoon, Connie. Welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for taking my call.
Did you have a question for John?
Well, not so much a question. Well, a question maybe, but a comment is: this year we were really plagued, it seemed, by just so many frequent rain showers that for the farmers it was really difficult to get into the fields and bale hay. And then the flooding was just the nail in the coffin. And I know myself and several other farmers and rescues, there's a massive hay shortage. Most of us don't have enough hay right now to get through the winter. We can't find hay, and unless you're able to financially hire somebody to go somewhere where there might be hay that's palatable for the animals and get it, it's just not available. And I'm wondering, you know, last summer we saw frequent rain showers, and then this summer, if this is something, maybe a changing weather pattern that's just set in.
Well, Connie, it's predicting summer precipitation and summer patterns is always pretty difficult. I mean, predicting any kind of seasonal patterns is always difficult. But I should have mentioned earlier, one other factor that really contributed to the flooding is that we really had a wet late winter. Not just the big snowstorm in April, but we also had a heavy rain event in late February that melted snow, and there was a good 2-3 inches of rain, at least here in southern Wisconsin. And, you know, that just completely soaked the ground, and then there just wasn't, you know, it contributed. It was kind of one of many steps that contributed to all the flooding that we would see later in the spring and in the summer. So we don't really know too much about summer patterns and predicting them for this summer. What I would say is there is a developing El Nino that is taking shape now. And in general, in the winter, we tend to get less snow. Tends to be a little bit warmer, maybe a little bit less precipitation during El Nino winters and spring. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that at least maybe we can have a drier winter and a drier spring that can at least not set the table for the kind of flooding that we saw by the time we got into the summer.
John, I know we spent a lot of time talking about precipitation because there was so much of it, but 2018 was also a bad year for wildfires as well. In fact, they made several appearances in your top 10 list of strange weather events. First, can you tell us about the factors that led to these huge wildfires, these devastating conditions?
Sure. Well, first of all, California has very distinct wet and dry seasons. So they get the large majority of their rain from, say, late October, maybe early November through, say, April. And then they have several months where it just doesn't rain at all, except maybe you get a stray thunderstorm here and there. So what happens is eventually by the late summer and into the early fall months, the vegetation's dried out. You know, it hasn't rained for 3 months. So when you have that scenario set up, and then you have these Santa Ana wind events, these strong winds that blow from the land to the sea in California, and then all of a sudden you have some kind of an ignition, you have some kind of a spark. Maybe it's a thunderstorm in the middle of summer, to be honest. When you have that, all of a sudden in these Santa Ana wind events, the fire can spread so quickly. What California's been dealing with, they've had several years in a row that have been quite dry. That was interrupted by a very wet year. And what happened with the very wet year is you had all this vegetation that grew on top of all the dead vegetation that had dried out from all those previous dry years. And then that became even more fuel for the fires. So, you know, the problem with California is it doesn't rain 12 months, you know, it doesn't rain 12 months out of the year. It rains 7 to 8 months out of the year. So eventually every fall, folks with CAL FIRE and local authorities get nervous every time there's a strong wind event. And unfortunately, that really came up in spades this year.
And, well, you're talking about California, but it's not right next to it, but close enough to California. An entire Hawaiian island was washed out by a hurricane. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what happened there?
Yeah, this is a bit surreal. So this wasn't one of the hurricanes that obviously got a lot of attention in the media. It obviously wasn't Hurricane Michael that hit Florida or Hurricane Florence that, you know, soaked the Carolinas. This was Hurricane Welaka that was well west of the Hawaiian Islands, which, you know, as I mentioned in the article, had an eventful year as it was. So this was one of the stronger hurricanes that you'll see in the Central Pacific. It passed well west of the main Hawaiian Islands, but it passed close enough to this small island called East Island in the French Frigate Shoals, and all the surge, all the water pushed out on the eastern flank of this just overwashed this tiny island. And, you know, we noticed in satellite imagery after the storm went past, the island wasn't there anymore. It was just completely washed over. So we see that sometimes on the coast when a hurricane makes landfall. It'll make a cut in a barrier island, say in the Outer Banks, North Carolina, or the Texas Gulf Coast or Louisiana Gulf Coast. But that's really the first time I've seen, not a big island, but it's the first time I've really seen an island just completely washed over and it's gone.
Wow.
So
we have a little bit under 3 minutes left, so I did not want to let you go without talking about the fact that in late August, we had a line of severe thunderstorms that moved through central and east central Wisconsin, and it spun off around 19 tornadoes. And I know you noted in your piece that 2018 was a strange year for tornadoes, not only in Wisconsin, but across the U.S. How come?
Well, specifically, I mean, this is some of the good news that came out of 2018. Oftentimes we talk about disasters, but this was good news. So in 2018, we had the fewest U.S. tornado deaths on record dating to 1875. Only 10 people died because of tornadoes. And that was largely because we did not have a single, quote, violent tornado. And what I mean by violent is an EF4 or stronger tornado anywhere in the U.S. And that's the first time that had happened in modern records.
Wow.
And those are the big violent tornadoes like Joplin, Missouri, mm-hmm. or the ones that hit Moore in Oklahoma City earlier in the decade. Those are the ones that typically are the deadliest. But we did not see a single one like that anywhere in the U.S. So this was a rare speck of good news that we did not have any tornado like that. We certainly saw tornadoes, but nothing quite that intense. And no real big massive outbreaks like, say, the 2011 outbreak in Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, anything like that. So this was very good news. And, it wrapped up a pretty active August in Wisconsin. We had that outbreak of 19 tornadoes, including an EF2 tornado near Brownsville and Fond du Lac counties. So that was occurring as the flooding was occurring. So,
Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you spending the time.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Jonathan Erdman is a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com and contributor to the Weather Channel podcast. We talked with him about some of the biggest weather events of 2018.